welcome to another exciting episode of National People Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the stroll in the park of free speech because, well, the weather's gotten nice and we can stroll in the park and speak freely. This is exactly what we are going to do today. We are going to stroll in the park and speak freely. And you can make that happen by going to republicbroadcasting.org, clicking on the donate button, following the instructions to send badly needed fundage. And then, of course, you might want a picnic in the park. I mean, wow, picnic in the park. What could be better than that? You want it to be a non-kosher certified picnic. So go to nationalbugle.com and download the Kosher Certified app. $3.99, best $3.99 you ever spent. You will have a non-kosher certified picnic in the park. Okay, hey, Cato, if you were having a picnic in the Kongyuan, what would you bring?
Kongyuan? It depends. Probably just, some sandwiches, Chinese-style sandwiches. They have those over in China, too. Maybe a little thing of congee. And of course, plastic rice. A plastic container that you can deal with rice, not plastic rice.
Not plastic. What if you went to the Dongyuan?
The
Dongyuan.
The
zoo? I'm trying.
Okay? Dongwuyuan.
I tried. It's hard.
Dongwuyuan.
I can write.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you can bring peanuts, I guess, for the elephants. Maybe some bananas for the monkeys. And no, I don't mean blacks.
No, of course not.
That would
be racist.
Hmm?
That would be racist.
Yeah.
Except, we do have to recognize George Washington Carver for his achievements with peanuts. Black Fake History Month is over, but the peanut accomplishments live on.
Yeah, exactly. The peanuts live on. Enjoy life while you can. Life is short, and even though we can't worry about the things that we can't control in life, we can always do our best and do our part to warn as many people against the upcoming dangers of World War III and inadvertently supporting World War III. So that's what we're doing.
We're doing our best, yeah. And so it's possible that we'll all die before this show gets aired, but probably not. And even if we do die, at least we know that we did our best.
Exactly.
Okay.
Two ways. Yeah. Either it sucks that if we all do die before Monday, or suddenly this world is no longer our problem. So that's two ways to look at it. But hopefully we don't, because we still got a lot on this earth.
Hopefully we don't. Okay, so there's the stuff going on in Ukraine, obviously. Last week we talked a lot about that, but what we didn't get to was, which was kind of an afterthought, we all of a sudden remembered, or I all of a sudden remembered, that we were also going to talk about Taiwan. And so there's been a lot of talk for the past year or so that if Russia were to invade Ukraine, China would use the opportunity to invade Taiwan. Has that happened?
Well, not yet. The thing is, Ukraine and Taiwan are not the same thing. Ukraine, even though they're a crappy failed nation, they're still recognized as a sovereign nation, and Russia even recognizes them, whereas Taiwan is not a nation. There's no such thing as the nation of Taiwan. Taiwan is part of China. It currently calls itself the Republic of China, but,
Yeah. And what does that imply? If they call themselves the Republic of China, doesn't that imply that they are China? Part of China?
Yeah, they are part of China. Yeah, the Chinese, I believe, they are they're monitoring the situation very closely, obviously, in Ukraine. But the thing is, they don't, you know, from what I could see, they don't feel a need yet to go into Taiwan yet, because let me see here. So there's this article. Reuters: China pledges peaceful growth of Taiwan ties, but opposes foreign interference. Case in point, you had the U.S. Empire sailing its warships across the Taiwan Straits again, for like the 500th time, and you know, China said, "Oh yeah, we still stand with Taiwan," and China is just like, "No, that's not." the Chinese foreign minister a few days ago, Wang Wenbin, he said that if the U.S. tries to use any of its military equipment against China, it will be completely turned into scrap metal by the steel wall of 1.4 billion Chinese people. I mean, that's,
so, you know,
that's a really based patriotic statement right there. You don't see any, you know, Western nationalist leader ever talk like that.
So with regards to sailing ships through the Straits of Taiwan, which are between Taiwan and the mainland, excuse me, these things happen. So, you know, according to the law of the sea, there is, you know, there are some gaps, some straits between islands or between bodies of land, if it's been designated an archipelago or something, they can be purely the territorial waters of the country involved. Taiwan's far enough off the shore of China that the water in between is international water. And so it's not a violation of the law of the sea for the United States to sail there, and which is why the Chinese don't feel the need to attack the ships, the warships, as they're sailing through there. On the other hand, what you would ask the United States government is, like, do you really have a good reason to do it? I mean, okay, you're allowed to do it. Do you have a good reason to do it? You know, I mean, you could run around in parking lots screaming the N-word, and I suppose you're allowed to do that. It doesn't necessarily make it a good idea. And I will ask, when was the last time that a Chinese warship sailed through, what is it called, the Straits of Florida, between the Florida Keys and Cuba, like to go into the Gulf of Mexico? When was the last time a Chinese ship did that? Do you remember?
Well, all I can say is it's long overdue, and it's about time they did that to teach the American Empire a lesson.
Well, I mean, that would be the equivalent. Now, okay, so Fat Bastard, a.k.a. former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, where was he last week?
He was in the island of Taiwan. I call him Jabba the Hutt, because that's, if you look at him, I mean, just, you know, before he had all, you know, makeover, he looks just like Jabba the Hutt.
And you know, he is alleged to be a cannibal pedophile.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there are those allegations that have been made, reported in the Daily Stormer. And as we know, any allegation, you can just make any allegation you want, so why not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. But he was in Taiwan promoting Taiwanese independence. That's what he was doing.
Okay, so this is really weird, okay? He went over there, and then after meeting with Taiwanese leaders, he comes out saying that the United States should recognize the independence of Taiwan. When was it that the leadership in Taiwan declared independence?
Never.
Never?
Yeah, never.
Never. Okay, so now I want to make a bit of a comparison to what's going on in Russia and Ukraine. So Russia, they've been very clear that they could not accept NATO expansion into Ukraine, that was a red line and it would prompt a military response. They've been clear on this for 15 years, something like that. They've been clear on it for a very, very, ever since they started talking about it. There was some conference, some NATO conference, was in Bucharest in 2005 or 2007, something like that. And at that point, you know, NATO officials were talking about expanding into Ukraine. And Putin said, we cannot accept that. You know, I mean, the United States has an entire hemisphere. The Monroe Doctrine prohibits foreign military involvement in the entire Western Hemisphere. And so the idea that, somehow Russia wouldn't, for Russia to say that a country that honestly has historically been part of our country and, you know, it's not part of our country now, but that's for very recent reasons, that we might not, that we don't have some sort of security interest there. Oh, that's, talk about hypocrisy. I mean, this is the country that is absolutely in every way closest to Russia, and America can have an exclusion zone over an entire hemisphere, and Russia can't desire or demand the neutrality, at least the neutrality of the country that historically, it's not just closest to them, it is the cradle of Russian civilization. That's, Kiev is the cradle of Russian civilization. I mean, it's really part of Russian civilization. So, but what you had is in this past month in February, you had a very clear attempt by NATO, Victoria Nuland, the fake Brandon R. Trojan administration, to cross and the Jew President Zelensky to cross these red lines, to state that Ukraine was going to be part of NATO, that it was going to acquire nuclear weapons. And then it just went about bombing ethnic Russians in these provinces, breakaway provinces in the Donbass.
Pretty much genociding. It's pretty much, they're pretty much ethnic Russians.
I mean, at least it's, you know, it's just steady grinding, in maybe low intensity. I don't know if I'd use the word genocide, but it is continuous violence and murder, killing. Anyway, so you had a very deliberate attempt to cross red lines, and it got the announced response, a response that has been promised for the past 15 years, that they will respond militarily if these red lines are crossed. So they, you know, the Zio-American side crossed the lines, and look what happened. Now, in Taiwan, China has been clear for decades that they are willing to play a waiting game. But one thing that they, and you know, waiting game, and they look forward to a day at some point where they are reunited with Taiwan. And even if it's two systems, one country, they are looking forward to this day. But one thing that they will not tolerate is a declaration of independence by Taiwan. And Taiwan has never declared independence. And, of course, as listeners to this show know, even today, the official position of Taiwan is that Taipei is the capital of all of China, although very few people in Taiwan retain any ambitions of conquering the rest of China. But that's the legacy of their history, that the government in Taipei claims to be the government of all of China. So here you got Mike Pompeo over there purposely trying to get Taiwan, the government in Taipei, to cross the red line. What's that all about?
Well, Mike Pompeo is probably one of the most dangerous creatures alive today. He, you know, he wants war. He wants the American Empire to go out, full out war with China, and he wants to see a lot of Chinese people die. He wants to see Chinese people get killed. Like, there's no more dangerous thing to China than, well, I'm giving him too much credit, I will say. He's really a nobody. But, I mean, he's somebody, but he's really not, you know, he's not this big. China's not afraid of him, is what I'm trying to say. China's just more annoyed by him.
You know, I would like to completely dismiss Pompeo the way, you know, we can pretty much completely dismiss Brandon R. Trojan. He was you know, I guess he grew up in Scranton and then wound up going to Delaware, which is the state. It's got, I guess, the second smallest population. So, but still it has two senators. So, I mean, if you wanted the easiest path possible to the United States Senate, well, you'd move to Delaware. That's what you'd do. And he had a very undistinguished but very long career in the Senate. I mean, he's well known for verbal gaffes. I say he has foot and mouth disease, and he's clearly not that smart. He's clearly, he ran three times for president, really never won. I mean, the first two times he didn't get a single delegate, and this third time, the only way that they could drag him across the finish line was by canceling the primaries. And then faking the general election. It's all very bizarre, but he's in there now. But Pompeo, on the other hand, even though he's fat and really doesn't necessarily sound that smart, I believe he graduated first in his class at West Point, didn't he? I think he did, which is an accomplishment. And then as a white Christian or pseudo Christian, whatever, a white nominal Christian, got into Harvard Law School and graduated from Harvard Law School, which, you know, if your name is Steinowitzki or something, maybe it's not too hard to get into Harvard Law School. But if you're a former, what was it? Was he a captain or something? If you're a former army officer from Kansas and you're a nominal Christian, getting to Harvard, is it that easy? I don't know. Maybe if you wear your Zionism on your sleeve, maybe they'll let you in. I'm not quite sure how that works.
They selected him to do their bidding. I'll put it that way.
It may be. I'm not quite as dismissive of him. I would like to be. I would like to think he's just really stupid, but he probably isn't really stupid. And he's going to run for president. You know, there's going to be a big effort to have a non-Trump person win the Republican primary. I don't know. It may well be that Trump's got a lock on it and may not even matter because Trump, no matter what you think of him, he is certainly easily manipulated. So I don't know if he can possibly represent the interest of Americans. I really don't know. I'm kicking it back to you.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously Pompeo was selected by the Jewish elites to do their bidding and their talking points. And, it's all because of him that, you know, made Trump into this anti-China caricature. It's Pompeo that was the one that was behind it all. And I mean, yeah, just going over to Taiwan. I mean, and telling Taiwan. I mean, wouldn't it be nice if a politician from another country, be it China or Russia or Iran or anywhere for that matter, came to, let's say, like for example, the state of Texas, and I support Texas independence, and I believe that we should, long live the Republic of Texas, the Republic of Texas. Wouldn't that be nice to have something like that, or come to Florida or something and say, long live the free state of Florida, or just any one of the 50 states. Hell, forget the mainland. Let's go to Hawaii. They should go to Hawaii, mm-hmm. and, promote Hawaiian nationalism, whatever the tribal nationalism is there. I don't know what the Hawaiian people's, their tribe is, but, promote Hawaiian nationalism and say Hawaii should secede from the United States and all the territories of the United States. Puerto Rico.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Tribe is, but you know, promote Hawaiian nationalism and say Hawaii should succeed from the United States and all the territories of the United States, Puerto Rico, Guam, the U.S. Virgin Islands, you know, American Samoa, they should all succeed from the United States and be independent.
Yeah, I mean, maybe Texas would be better as an example. The thing about like Puerto Rico is, I think a lot of people would agree that. A lot of like Americans would agree that it would be better for Puerto Rico to become independent because there's always that, you know, it's got a different population. It's got a Spanish speaking population. And, you know, there's the worry, well, what if it becomes a state? Then you get the way it would work out now is you'd probably get two Democratic senators who would be anti-white. But, Texas, let's just say that things happened and Texas became independent, and maybe, you know, maybe some other places became independent, but you had a rump United States. Texas was independent. And then you had, it was independent, and then you had some other power, or combination of powers that aligned itself with Texas, you know, maybe Mexico and whatever else. And then you got a situation where this alliance of foreign powers, they were trying to bring Texas into their fold and bring nuclear weapons into Texas. But, let's just say you had a coup in Texas in that independent Republic of Texas, whereby, radical local Hispanics take over. And the day after they take over, they outlaw English. Because remember, the day after the Victoria Nuland Maidan coup in 2014, the very next day, Russian was removed as an official language. They effectively outlawed the Russian language. So let's just say you have this coup in the Republic of Texas, radical Hispanics take over, and they outlaw English. And then let's just say up around Amarillo, some of those counties that are very Anglo, aren't they, in the panhandle?
The panhandle is the more Anglo part, the most Anglo part
of
Texas.
Some of those counties up in the panhandle declare independence from the radicalized Texas. And then the Hispanic government of Texas starts bombing the panhandle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, now we're starting to get somewhere. This is kind of an analogy. And, you know, if you had the rump government of the United States and they're trying to get that, you know, Mexico, whatever else, whoever else you want to ally with Mexico, want to get that Mexico alliance out of Texas, maybe turn Texas back into kind of a neutral state and make it so that the Anglos in Texas can continue to speak English. That's what Putin was trying to do.
Yeah.
So now here's the thing. I think that what Victoria Nuland and her crowd is trying to do, I don't necessarily think they're trying to start World War III, although that could happen. I think her objective is to regime change Vladimir Putin. I don't think she expects it's going to happen immediately, but I think what she wants is for, and I don't think Vladimir Putin wants to reconstitute the Russian Empire or the Soviet Union. He wants Ukraine to be a buffer state. And I don't even think he particularly wants to annex the Donbass, although it might happen. What Victoria Nuland wants, because NATO's not going, NATO, the plans are, I mean, Brandon has said he's not going to send American troops into Ukraine, and Stoltenberg, who's the head of NATO, says he's not going to send NATO troops into Ukraine. Ukraine is going to lose this this immediate conflict, and Russia is going to achieve its military objectives. But what Victoria Nuland's trying to do is draw it out as long as possible, so there are as many casualties as possible. The more casualties there are on both sides, two things happen. One is it solidifies the international sanctions against Russia. It isolates Russia, it isolates Putin. And two, it very likely will hurt him considerably domestically, because the people in Russia, they don't have a hatred for Ukrainians. Most of them have family ties with Ukrainians. So to the extent that there are Ukrainian civilian casualties or Russian military casualties, people are going to feel pain. And I think what she's trying to do is create international solidarity to undermine the Russian economy, and trying to undermine Putin's support domestically so that he will be ripe for an overthrow. That's the way I see it. What do you think about that?
Yeah, she's a psychopathic Jew. She wants as many deaths as possible. The whole goal of the American Empire is they want to bring Russia back under the heel of the global homo degenerate liberal New World Order. That's their goal. They want Russia to go back to the 90s, just like they want China to go back to the late 1800s, early 1900s. They want Russia to go back to the 1990s, to where Russia was so weak and pathetic and unable to stand up to these global homo Jews in the American Empire.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey, Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our ease-off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the ease-off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my ease-off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Sayonara, lopato ka misaki.
They want Russian to defend their language, where Russia was so weak and pathetic. And unable to stand up to these global homo Jews in the American Empire, so that's what they want for Russia. They want a drunken incompetent like Yeltsin to be running Russia, and they want Russia to just they want to destroy Russia, no doubt about it.
So I mean, that's what I think is the Victoria Nuland and her posse, and I think. Honestly, I think she is the point man. I think she is the person more than anyone else who is running this. Because I say that, A, because, you know, she was running it in 2014, even though, Wendy Sherman and Tony Blinken were, they outranked her at the State Department, and they still outrank her at the State Department. They're number, one and two. She's number three. But, the thing is, and they're all Jews, but she speaks Russian. She has like an area, her area concentration is in Russia. Also, she was the U.S. ambassador to NATO. So, I mean, she's got that connection too. So I think this, and, she was the, formerly she was the Assistant Secretary of State for European and Eurasian Affairs. So this is her portfolio. So I think she is the point person here. I think she's not stupid. She is despicable, but she's not stupid. And I think that, she is, much more responsible for what's going on than, say, Jake Sullivan. Is that the name of the Jake Sullivan, I think, is the National Security Advisor. You know, Lloyd Austin. He's just in charge of purging the military of patriotic white men. And there are probably people outside the government who have input, but she's a point person. And I think that's it. I think she is trying to, regime change Putin. Now, with Pompeo in China, could it be that because what would happen? What would happen? I ask you right now. What would happen if the cat lady who runs Taiwan, if she all of a sudden, in the midst of this, all that's going on in the world, declared Taiwanese independence? What would happen?
Oh, the U.S. would turn on her and basically. Independence. You said Taiwanese.
Yeah, independence from.
I thought you meant to renounce Taiwanese independence.
No. If she would declare Taiwanese.
She would be hailed as the new. In fact, she already is hailed as the almost like the who's that opposition that female in Belarus? I can't even think of her name.
She's kind of fat.
Or the what is it? Alexei Navalny, that CIA controlled Western puppet that was trying to undermine.
Those people didn't control any territory, and she controls Taiwan, which honestly is a very nice place.
She would
go there, right?
What?
It's a very nice place.
It is a really nice place, but she would be hailed as the poster child of liberal democracy, of democracy in East Asia. She would be hailed as this hero, back in the U.S. And yes, Taiwan is a very nice place, but it's being run to the ground by these clowns of the DPP. In fact, let me tell you this too. There have been former Kuomintang, Chiang Kai-shek's party generals, who have come, and said that the Taiwanese military should stage a coup against the DPP, overthrow the DPP, and peacefully reunite with China, because he said that the DPP is selling out Taiwan to the United States, to the liberal West, and that the Chinese Communist Party is no longer the party of Mao, but has taken China in a much different direction for the better. And these were ardent anti-Maoist, anti-communist generals. And they're coming out and saying, we want to reunite with China.
And why am I not surprised to hear that?
Well, because it's pretty obvious. I mean, we see how China's changed for the better, for the best, really.
The Kuomintang, which is currently the opposition party, and it's for the past 30 years has been kind of going in and out. It's been kind of like, I guess you call it a revolving door or merry-go-round. They're going back and forth between the DPP and the Kuomintang. But, they were all about Chinese unification. They were all about unification. They just wanted unification under themselves. They wanted like a nationalist Chinese unification. So here's the thing. Like, I went to Taiwan a couple times in the 80s, and it was a very nice place. It was poorer than Japan, but it wasn't bad. There's you didn't really see beggars, you didn't see people starving. The facilities were decent enough. They were more or less on a par with Eastern Europe and or Mexico or something like that. It wasn't Africa. Now China in the 1980s, it was super, super poor. And so you'd look at Taiwan, if you went in the 1980s, you'd look at Taiwan and you'd think, wow, what if all of China could be like this? Wouldn't that be great? Well, here we are now. And all of China has become much wealthier. All of China has become much more livable. And so the rest of China has become what, Taiwan was in the 80s and then some. And so if you were... if you are a Kuomintang general and you look at that and say, okay, well, now we've got something to reunite with. And then especially if you get the, even if you've got parochial interests, even if you've got interests in maintaining your fiefdom, if you had a reunification along the lines of two systems, one country, two systems, you can still have a great deal of autonomy. You can, if you're, elite Kuomintang or elite of Taiwan, you can still be elite in Taiwan. You can still be a big fish in your small pond. within the context of a reunification.
Yeah, I mean, you can still have, you know, your separate system, but under one nation, under one direction globally. Yeah, and speaking of China's super development, you should see some of China's highways, by the way, in the rural parts. I mean, just incredible engineering. You know, just the really tall bridges that go through mountains, and, you know, highways that zigzag, and they climb up a mountain, up a hill. It's so incredible. It's China's, no doubt, is first world, beyond first world.
Mm. Yeah. So if you're like in the 1980s, if you're in Taiwan, the prospect of reunification with the mainland meant the state ownership of the means of production, right? So it meant, you know, you're losing your private property, and then a centrally planned economy, which would be a disaster. But it doesn't mean any of those things anymore.
No, not at all. China is a market economy. It's not a capitalist country like you know, Eric Lee would say, unlike America, because no lobbying group, no billionaires will ever control the central government of China, never. The Chinese government controlled, or the rich are put in check by the government, not the other way around. Here it's the other way around. The rich controls the government. Over there, the government controls the rich in the name of to help the people.
So, and, you know, China is it's a market economy, but it's got a lot of state elements. Well, guess what? That's always how Taiwan was. That's our, you know, the Kuomintang, when the Kuomintang ruled Taiwan. Taiwan's major banks were state-owned, and Taiwan had this, what did they call it, like fiscal investment and loan program, something like that, where the equivalent of Social Security money, like the Social Security lockbox, the Social Security trust funds, I guess. Their equivalent of that was invested in infrastructure projects. The kind of mixed economy that Taiwan had, because it wasn't just an ideological market economy. It had a market, but it also had a lot of state involvement in the market. And what Taiwan had in the 1980s is very similar to what China has become nowadays. So from an older, like a Kuomintang elder statesman's point of view, what's the point now? And the last thing you would want is to go to war for Taiwanese independence that you never supported in the first place.
Yeah, it's just so silly. I mean, the here's the thing. The CCP of Deng Xiaoping and now Xi Jinping, and the Kuomintang of Chiang Kai-shek have more in common with each other than both do with the CCP of Mao and the Kuomintang of Li Denghui. And it was him who, you know, basically, castrated the Kuomintang. And
I want to ask you about that. So Li Denghui, he was the successor to Chiang Jingguo. Chiang Jingguo was the son of Chiang Kai-shek.
Yes.
And then Chiang Jingguo died in, what was it, 1990, 91, something like that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, so somewhere in the late 80s, early 90s.
And he was replaced by Li Denghui, who was Kuomintang, but he was born in Taiwan. He wasn't somebody who had come over from the mainland at the end of the Chinese Civil War. So, mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, that much I know about him, but you're saying that he was. So, what did he mean? In what way did he transform the or castrate the Kuomintang?
He basically turned the Kuomintang from this, you know, staunch nationalist, you know, party, you know, authoritative party of Chiang Kai-shek and his son, you know, basically Chinese nationalism, not a democracy, but a nationalist state to combat the communists at the time. He basically changed it from that to essentially a Taiwanese version of the GOP. And we know how bad the GOP is in America. So that's basically what he did, was he weakened the Kuomintang and allowed for, you know, just more liberal democracy to exist in Taiwan.
And so one of the things that happened, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure it happened after the the Kuomintang and their army retreated from China to Taiwan, they, you know, they took their institutions with them, including like the Chinese legislative body, the legislative yuan, and the parliament, in effect. And the thing is, because the members of the parliament were elected on a geographical basis, and you could no longer have elections in they could no longer hold elections in Sichuan province or Yunnan province. All these legislators were just frozen in place, which was fine for a while, but by the, you know, late 1980s, 40 years after having left the mainland, a lot of them had died off. And when somebody would die off, they would replace him with the person who came in second, but then that person might get old and die off. And they were having a big problem. And I think it was right within the first year or so that Li Tonghui had taken over, that he, and I don't think there was really any way to avoid it, but he stopped holding, or he just no longer had the representation, like any kind of representation from these mainland districts in the legislative yuan. So I mean, there's that. I don't know how much detail we need to get into for that right now. That might be a little bit obscure. But is there anything you want to add to that before I ask the next question?
Well, according to Wikipedia, it says that he's nicknamed Mr. Democracy. And it says that Li was credited as the president who initiated Taiwan's transition to the democratic era. In other words, the liberal global homo era that it's under now today. So.
Well, right. And you know, one of the obstacles to democracy is, well, if you're going to have a parliament, and you know 90% of the seats or whatever are held by people who cannot face re-election because you know their districts are on the mainland and you can't hold elections on the mainland, you can't have democracy for what it's worth. But at any rate, okay, I just want to ask one more time, if the cat lady, what's her name?
Tsai Ing-wen. Yeah.
Yeah. Which her given name Ying-wen literally means English literature, right?
Exactly. And Tai means vegetable. Tai means vegetable. So, you know, Tai means head. She's a vegetable head.
You know? Okay. Anyway, so if she were to declare independence, does China invade?
Well, I mean, China's already very clear. That's China's red line. Don't declare Taiwanese, and just like Russia's red line is, you know, Ukraine cannot join NATO, and they were well on their way to joining NATO. So Russia had to stop them before they got into NATO, otherwise it would trigger all of NATO against Russia. China's red line is Taiwanese independence. Taiwanese declaring themselves an independent state. As long as Taiwan declares themselves an independent state, they're not going to necessarily invade.
And you could see chlamydia. She could go out there and say, well, basically, Taiwan's a country, and it's near China, which is a bigger country, and if China invades, that would be bad. You can see her saying that. But for Mike Pompeo, I don't think he's stupid. I think he knows absolutely that what he's proposing in saying that the United States should recognize the undeclared, as of yet undeclared independence of Taiwan, he's goading Taiwan to declare independence in order to start a war with China. Am I overreacting, or is
no, that no? I think that's what he wants to do. You know, whether he'll succeed or not, you know, that's another story. But I think that's what he wants to do. He wants to goad China into a war, and he wants to see as many Chinese people die as possible.
So, all right, and I, you know, it sounds like rhetoric. He wants to see as many Chinese people die as possible. But let's be clear. Victoria Nuland, I absolutely think she wants as many Russians and Ukrainians to die as possible for the reasons I already explained. Okay, we only have a few minutes left. And so I want to say, make one point. There's one point where I think I agree with Victoria Nuland and Mike Pompeo and a lot of other people. I think that Russia's response, the way they're responding, probably wouldn't be possible if it weren't for China. Russia wouldn't be able to stand up for themselves, because without the alternative trading networks of China, without the alternative financial systems that they've come up with, like this alternative to SWIFT, MasterCard and Visa, they've prohibited Russians from using their services to the extent they can. Well, you know, UnionPay is an alternative credit card. If it weren't for China and the alternative that it offers, that Russia couldn't stand up for itself.
ブルーライト横浜、あなたと二人幸せ。
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast two-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
UnionPay is an alternative credit card. If it weren't for China and the alternatives that it offers, that Russia couldn't stand up for itself. Now, if you're Victoria Nuland, you say, if it wasn't for Russia, they wouldn't be able to do this. They wouldn't be able to stand. If it wasn't for China, Russia couldn't stand up for itself. And for me, it's like, wow, if it wasn't for China, Russia couldn't stand up for itself.
Exactly.
There's an agreement there, but a different tone.
To us, it's a very good thing. To them, it's a bad thing because, oh no, China is posing a threat to our you know, our liberal, you know, degenerate homo New World Order. And to us, it's like, yes, China is leading, you know, the resistance against the New World Order. And China is humanity's last hope. Multipolarism is the answer to the liberal, yeah, this, global homo New World Order.
This really is showing it. And the thing is, what we're seeing in Ukraine, this isn't a war between Ukraine and Russia. It's not even between NATO and Russia. It's between Jewish supremacy and civilization. And unfortunately, our country, the United States, and most white countries have been co-opted into the Jewish supremacist empire. It's sad but true. Just live up to it. Just own it. That's what's happened. And Team Civilization, that is Putin, that is China, that's Iran.
Mm-hmm. Russia, China, Iran, and some other nations, you know, Belarus, Syria, even North Korea, whatever you think of North
Korea. Even North Korea, with all its weirdness, I know its weirdness very well, but I want to invite it into to be one of the occupying powers when the glorious day comes that the United States is occupied by the powers of civilization.
Exactly. That's yeah. As to who will get what part of the United States, well,
I guess. I mean, it's not like I don't want to be like conquered and permanently colonized, but I don't think anybody wants to permanently colonize us.
But it's still better than the occupation we're under now by the forces of Jog.
Oh God! People just have to look up, and maybe for whatever reason you don't like China, you don't like Russia, and probably your reasons aren't very good ones. But whatever. Just wake up, smell coffee. Right now we are under just a horrible occupation of Jewish supremacy, and you know, the fecal matter is hitting the ventilation device, and we got to wake up. And there's a lot of people out there with some awfully bad takes. Well, anyway, but we have good takes. I will. That's where I'll end it on. Any final thoughts, Cato?
Yeah, I'll add this one more thing. When earlier you were talking about Texas and the Hispanics, the Mexicans reoccupying Texas. Well, it's better for the Mexicans to occupy Texas than this you know, the current Zionist regime. That's basically a tool of Zionism. So
yeah, I wasn't even really trying to like badmouth Hispanics or whatever, but I was just trying to formulate some sort of analogy that would make sense. That would be accurate. That would make some sort of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you very much for joining me, Cato.
Well, thank you, Dr. Slattery. Hope we're still here this time next week.
I hope we're still here too. And with any luck, I will be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.